The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayers that you move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you would comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. Father, there's nothing greater in all the world than your word, thus saith the Lord. May we never be the same because we will hear it today. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
There's some excitement in the house.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 12, the last aspect of the book of John, of Jesus' public ministry. It has taken 3 years to get to chapter 12. Literally. Not only representing the 3 years of Jesus' life, but the 3 years that we have been in the book of John. Today, I want to challenge you because I understand that Jesus is our perfect example. Is that true? And if Jesus is our perfect example, we better pay attention to the fact of what did he make as a priority? Because what he made as a priority probably is a good example of what we need to make as a priority. Now, for years, I trained guard dogs. I made sure that none of them was Christians. They did not believe in Jesus, but they could help you go see him. And in training guard dogs, it took to train a good dog so you can trust it. It takes about 2 years to get a good guard dog trained. And I trained all my own personal guard dogs. And one of the things you have to really be careful about when you're training guard dogs is to make sure that they keep their priorities. And what I mean by that is that many people make a mistake. They allow the dog to get sleeve happy. And do you know what sleeve happy is? When you get the guy to come in and put on the pads.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Okay, I just want to know if you're listening.
Yep.
Paying attention. Mm-hmm. They will come in and they'll put on the pads and they have what they call a sleeve that they put on their arm. And the dog has to be clean. In order to pass is shoots in one, shoots in two, and shoots in three. Shoots in three is the highest a dog can be and when it comes to training and professional training. I had two shoots in three Rottweilers. And a very bad habit of what trainers do when they're not paying attention is that the dog can get sleeve happy. And what that means is that as long as the dog has the sleeve in his mouth when he bites, he has to hold on to that sleeve as a gun hand or not being able to draw back and hit you or hit the dog. And he has to hold that regardless what that person does to that dog. He can kick the dog. He can hit the dog. He can even shoot the dog. But that dog's job is to hold on and not turn loose of that sleeve. That's a good thing. But the bad thing is, if the dog gets so happy grabbing the sleeve that the guy can just slip the sleeve off and the dog will continue to bite the sleeve while he's over there beating you up. Now, I like to ask you a question. Now, it's a good thing for the dog to attack the sleeve.
Amen.
But his priority is to be trained to protect me. So what we had to train my dogs that when the guy turns the sleeve loose and drop it, the dog turns the sleeve loose and holds him. And as long as he didn't move, he was safe. But if he moved, that was an opportunity for the dogs to enjoy not being a Christian.
Yes, sir.
Now, as Christians, What kind of sleeve happy are we? Is Jesus the priority? Or do we get caught up in a lot of other things? And we think that we are doing the job that God has called us to do, but we're ending up concentrating on things that God says are not priority. And in chapter 12, he lays one after another, after another, after another, what priorities are and what priorities are not. And they're not bad things. Many of us can get caught up in good things, but they're not the number one priority. Even Bible study is good. Hanging out with good people is good. Doing those things that are nice is good. But is Jesus saying that's the priority? So shall we walk through chapter 12? Now, we've been in here for 2 weeks already. So those of you who missed the first 2 weeks, grab the tapes. You will be able to catch up with us today. Look at first thing he does. He has the dinner in chapter 12, 1 through 11. And Mary comes and anoints his feet, and there's poor. And Lazarus is there at the dinner. Martha and Mary's at the dinner. And Judas with the other disciples at the dinner. And Judas says, we could have sold that perfume for 1 year salary and fed the poor. Jesus said, hey, poor is important. But when it comes to me, they take second seat. You're going to always have the poor with you. So your concentration right now is me. A lot of people get excited about feeding the poor, about going down and doing missionary work. And more people are more excited about doing missionary work than Jesus' work. Don't get caught up in the poor. You get caught up in me, Jesus says. Because if you're caught up in me, you can even have the right priority when you deal with the poor. Somebody say amen to the past. Amen. Then we start with verse 12 through 19. And that's the next day. Verse 1 is 6 days before the Passover, before Christ dies. Verse 12 is the next day, which is 5 days before the Passover, before Jesus is crucified. Now, in John, we learn that you don't learn everything that's going on in that 1 week. You have to go to the other synoptic gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, to find out all the things that are happening in those 5 days, because you got to come to the conclusion, what will make a crowd love Jesus, throw their clothes down, put down palms, call him the Messiah, Jesus Christ, save us, we're excited about you, and 5 days later, they're saying crucify. And most of us thought it was because they was fickle. They're not fickle. They was totally disappointed because Jesus comes in. Here's the crowd. There's two crowds, remember? One crowd is there for the Passover. And one crowd is there because they saw Jesus raise Lazarus earlier. So there's two major crowds that is here. Now, if Jesus wanted to, he could have taken over right there and became the king. But God did not call him to become king at that time. So what was the priority? The priority was to die. I did not get very much response on that one. So you mean to tell me that God thinks that you and I should have a high priority about dying? Oh, you must be from Missouri. You want some proof. I see it in your faces. Verse 12, those that came in for the Passover, look at verse 17. The people, therefore, that were with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bore witness of what Christ was doing. So Christ, if he wanted to, he could have got this crowd all excited. But the priority was to bring glory to God. So the number one priority at that time was not to please the crowd, but to please the Father. Forget the poor. Forget the crowd that can make you famous. How many of you sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes would think, you know, if I make these people happy, they'll give more. They'll serve more. They will attend more. If we just do what the crowd want to make him king, it goes, oh no. And then he turns around and makes the crowd mad in the next 5 days of all the things he does. He goes to get the donkey, rides in, the triumphant entry. Then he goes and he curses the fig tree. Then he goes into the temple, turns tables over, and runs everybody out. And then he said, I am not here to become your king. I am here to come to be sacrificed. And that was such a disappointing thing to the people that they turned against him because they wanted a king. They did not want a suffering servant. Do you see the priorities? Do you see what Christ wants in your life? See the priorities he wants you to submit to. Now here comes the big one, the dying part. You guys thought I was through with that one, didn't you? It'd be nice if I was through with that because I had to deal with this for months and months and months. So I love to share this with you so you can be miserable with me a little bit. You know, misery loves company, folks. Verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, who was a Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we want to see Jesus. Philip says, well, I better go to Andrew. And Andrew and Philip came to Jesus. Can anyone in here tell me, why do you think the Greeks came to Philip and Andrew? They're Greek names. Not Jewish names. They're Greek names, Philip, Andrew. And so they wanted to manipulate. Come on now. They want to see Jesus, but they want to manipulate on how they want to see Jesus. A lot of us want to follow Jesus, but we want to manipulate how Jesus ought to walk with us. We already had the example of Mary and Martha, right? The one you love is sick. Now, Jesus, if you don't do something about this, you don't really love him. So here comes the Greeks. Jesus says, you know, people that want answers is important, but they're not as important as you get in the Word to find answers for yourself. Is that your priority? Make sure you're spending time with God and you're in the Word, so when someone comes and wants the Word, you have already set your priorities and you're giving them God's answers instead of your answers? I just want to know, what's your priority? Do you have a good set of priorities? Do you keep those priorities? Are you manipulated in those priorities? It's gloomy again. Maybe we ought to play some more music. Look at this one. I love this. Jesus says, you know what? That's going to take me off my game. Dealing with the Greeks and giving them answers and talking to them about the scriptures is a good thing, but that's going to take me off of my priority. And it was such a lack of priority to meet with the Greeks, Jesus didn't even give Philip and Andrew an answer. Isn't this right sometimes just to not even answer folks? Especially if you know they're trying to manipulate you. But that takes wisdom. That takes study. That takes being in the Word. That takes being controlled by God's Spirit to keep your priorities straight. Do you know that your children is not a high priority as Christ is? No. That was a courtesy amen right there. Amen? That was a courteous amen. Because you know how Christ would be on some of your kids. I don't understand how homes and houses where the kids can talk back and raise their voice to a parent. Well, you got to let them express themselves. Okay. Outside the house on their own. Somebody get a pastor, amen. Because I got my dog so well trained, I can sick them on my kids. I don't need to be as strong as I used to be. I just bring my dogs in. They only understand German, and I go pucking. Bam! They're bit. And they don't bite them because they're mean. They do it because they was told to do it. It's obedience. Their priority is who? The kids or me? Me. And guess what your priority is supposed to be? You or Christ? Oh, really? Let's see this a little bit. Jesus answered, verse 23. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die. Somebody talk to me. It cannot bear fruit. How would you like to be one of the disciples? Disciples come, Jesus. There are some Greeks out here who would love to sit down and talk to you about spiritual things. You know, unless a piece of grain die. When you love to be in some of those conversations with Jesus, Peter, yeah, what, you get that? No. Andrew, you brought him. Andrew, you asked him, what did that mean? Why? You know why it's so hard to understand Jesus and the disciples? Because they're on different priorities. You know why it's so hard sometimes for you and I to be in line with God? Different priorities. And you know the number one bad priority we put in front of God? Ourselves. We're not willing to die. Now listen to what he says. He says, if you want to produce fruit, die, not do. Did you hear me? God says, if you want to produce fruit, die. Don't go around doing. Remember what we talked about with Mary and Martha? Is it better to do Christian things or be a Christian? Be a Christian. What does Christians do? Sacrifice themselves every day for the glory of God. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Since you asked, I think we ought to go look at some other scriptures. How about Philippians? Philippians. Mm-hmm. I don't hear any pages. All right. When you get there, give me a praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. Well, let's start with 5. Let's go back to 4. Oh, yeah, sorry. Just kidding, Joe. We'll go to 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who's the perfect example for us? Christ. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't know about you, but he is our perfect example. Are we supposed to be dying regularly? What seems to be the problem? We got too many Christians that love to breathe. We want to suck our life. We want to use our abilities and our talents and our smarts. And oftentimes we wonder why we're not producing more fruit. It's because you're not dying. I did a sermon years ago on who's driving your hearse. That's something to think about, isn't it? I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul on the back. No luggage racks on top. You can't take it with you. But we're constantly trying to crawl out of that casket and get in the driver's seat. So not even our lives is a priority over Christ. Well, let's see what else is in the scriptures. For those of you who missed, we already have done 47 through verse 50. And that was Jesus summarizing chapter 12, 44 through 50. John summarizes chapter 12 and the first 3 years, I should say, verse 37 through 41. Right now we're in verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father also honor. Go with me to Matthew, would you? Matthew, chapter 12. When you get there, give me a praise the Lord. Let's start with verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood outside desiring to speak with him. Wow. His mother is outside wanting to speak to him. His brothers is outside wanting to speak to him. Didn't say anything about, I believe, his sister. She's with her husband. We talked about in John chapter 2 and 3, the wedding feast. I believe it was his sister. But his brother's out there. And his mother is out there. Why isn't his father out there? He's dead. He has to be dead. Because he can't be alive and Jesus be the king. If his dad's alive, he can only be prince, or formerly known as prince. Some of you white people didn't get that, but the brothers is cracking up on that one, boy. He can only be prince, so his father has to be dead for him to start his public ministry. So one of the things that Joseph accepted by becoming Jesus' father was knowing that he would have to die by the time Jesus started his public ministry. Verse 46. While he was yet talking, his mother and his brother was outside. Verse 47. Then one said unto Jesus, behold, your mother and your brothers, they are standing outside. They're desiring to speak with you. But he answered and said unto him that told him that, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Now, you mean to tell me priority is not family when it comes to God? Those who do my will is my mother and my father. Is that what he said? No. My mother and my brother. This is Jesus' word. This is Jesus' priority. How many times has family got in the way of you serving God. I don't know. He stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother." You got to die. You know, you got to even die to your talents. You know, there's a lot of people won't go to the mission field because they can't get a piano in the canoe. I hope most of you understood that. Because, you know, I got a talent and I know God's got to use it. Who said? And you can't use it if you don't die to it, because you're not going to produce any fruit. Are we having fun yet? Don't seem like it. Yeah. Back to John, please. Do, 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 do. The Bible, man, is so sweet, isn't it? Verse 27. Now, is my soul troubled? And what shall I say? Now, isn't this something that we ought to think about? Jesus said, let not your soul be. And he said a couple of times that Jesus was. Is there a contradiction here? If he's telling us not to be troubled, why is he troubled? I'm just throwing the question out to you Christians. Stirred but not shaken. Double O Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. He was troubled in his spirit. See, we get troubled because it's about us. It centers around what you and I want. Jesus is troubled about becoming the payment. So you don't have to be troubled anymore. Because look what he says. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, did I come into the world for this hour? So Jesus never prayed in the garden. We're going to talk about that in chapters 13 through 18. Which all takes place in one night. What does it mean? Remove this cup from me. Folks, it is an awesome truth there. He wasn't asking not to die. It was much deeper than that. Verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people therefore said, that was God. I heard it. Is that what they said? No, you see, that's always good to bring your Bible. People can tell you anything, boy. Well, we're not even in the book. I heard it thunder. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, Jesus heard from the Father three times in his ministry. Like, You remember the three? When he was baptized, this is my beloved son. Do you remember how the people responded? It thundered. So I mean, these gender neutral Bibles. I was on this talk show years ago, and we was going at it, and Al Franken sense, I like to call him, or Al Franken no sense. Susan Powder, you guys know, remember that name? Hate men. At least she hated men. We got to be real good friends after the show. Hated men. And then we had Dr. Schultz, Oprah Winfrey's guru. Okay? And then that was me. We was laughing because it's three Jews and a brother. And we were going at it, man. And they go, well, God is a woman. And I'm sitting there, you know, it's always good to let people talk it out. Then when you say something, you sound wise. God is a woman. And, you know, she and this and she and that. And then the host looked over at me and says, Reverend, oh, yes, you know, you're here. What do you think? Do you think God is a woman? I said, do you want an answer or a debate? We want an answer. I said, okay, let's shut the debate down there. Now, we can talk back and forth about whether God's a woman or not in here, and no one can be convinced. But I will tell you what will convince us all. If God is a woman, she was smart enough to make men head of the home. Debate was over. They went to commercial. Now, all this gender-free stuff and neutral and all this, he spoke at the Transfiguration with James, John, and Peter. Shook them up on the Transfiguration. Spoke here. Sounded like thunder. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would be impressed by a woman who sounds like thunder. I don't know. I like a little soft voice, whispering in my ear, you know. Hey, baby. I don't know. Can I get an amen somewhere? So I'd rather think that God is a man. Now, ladies, you know I love you. But don't ever lose your feminine rights trying to get your equal rights. Because God has made you special. And we're made of dirt. Who said amen out there? What? Watch out now. I'm going to encourage us men, this is. Watch this. This is so sweet. He says, I have glorified my name, and I'm going to do it again. And Christ says, I got to be lifted up. Verse 34. That leads us into John's summary of the last 3 years, beginning with verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 through 9. Verse 39, therefore, they could not believe because what Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them and their lands. What is that all about? Anyone got an idea what that's all about? Now, let me show you something. John chapter 12 lays a truth out that has been asked for years and years and years about how God works. Now, which verse comes first, verse 37 or verse 39? Are you sure? I can't hear you. Are you sure? Of course it does. 37 comes before 39. Some of you trying to see the spiritual deepness. Verse 37 said they would not believe. Verse 39 says they could not believe because God hardened their hearts after they would not believe. Pharaoh in Romans chapter 10 and 11 in the Exodus had his heart hardened. Why did he have his heart hardened? Because he would not believe. So God made him to the point where he could not believe. We have a loving God, but he has a limit. Now, how does anyone in here know whether a person has ever had their heart hardened or not? What's the only way you and I know their heart is not hardened? They're still breathing. They're still breathing. If their heart is hardened, Satan will kill them. The minute God has their heart hardened and they're not going to believe, Satan are not going to leave them here in order to have them have a chance to change their mind. And God will remove his protection from him, and you're dead. So you can never, ever say to anyone, well, they just harden their heart. They'll never believe. If they're breathing, keep witnessing. Because right now they're still in the phase of not wanting to believe. How you like John chapter 12? You got your priorities straight? You need to get them straight. Nothing better than good, straight priorities. You have much more time. You have a lot better thinking. You have the ability to know what you should and shouldn't do, who to get involved with and not, where to serve and where not to serve, where to come and where to go, when you got your priorities straight. And if Jesus is the perfect example, my friends, you and I have no excuse of what our priorities should be. Is Mike and them, do they have some? If not, Holly and Dave, you guys gonna be back there in the back room so people can come back to say hello, hello. Those of you that are visiting, please come by to see me. I'll be in the back. I'm a lot friendlier one-on-one. And it'd be great to say hello to you personally. I have a gift for you. Hopefully you're gonna like it. If you don't tell me you don't like it. I'm very sensitive. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for your word. It is awesome. Thank you for your priorities. They're not hard. They're not hard to know what they are. But without being controlled by the Spirit of God, they are impossible to keep. Help us see you. All other things is second seat. In Jesus' name we all say.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.